بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his Muslim nation from whatever he feared for this nation. In our last 27 lessons, we went over the beginning of the creation. Then we started talking about the prophets and messengers of Allah, alayhimu salatu wassalam. We talked about 21 of them. We talked about Adam, Sheth, Idris, Nuh, Salih, Ibrahim, Lut, Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub, Yusuf, Binyamin, Ayyub, Dhul-Kifl, Yunus, Al-Khadir, Musa, Harun, Yusha', Ilyas, and Ilyasa'. ومن هؤلاء, and among these 21, there were three of Ulul Azm, Nuh, Ibrahim, and Musa. And among those 21 that we mentioned, there were three who were not named in Al-Quran: Sheth, Binyamin, and Al-Khadir. So we had a variety of prophets and messengers that we mentioned. Inshallah, we still have to talk about Dawood, Sulaiman, Zakariya, Yahya, Isa, and Muhammad alayhimu salatu wassalam. Today, inshallah, we'll talk about Prophet Dawood, chapter 23 in our book, our history from the beginning. So the author, may Allah have mercy on her, said, Prophet Dawood, or David, alayhi salam, is among the prophets who are cited or mentioned in the Quran. And he is Dawood, the son of Isha, David, the son of Isha. And he is from the branch of Yehuda, the son of Yaqub, of Jacob. And Dawood was the youngest son in his family. One time, Prophet David, alayhi salam, went to his father and told him, Dad, or O father, each time I sling a stone from my slingshot, I hit my mark. Every time I release the stone from my slingshot, I hit my target, I hit my mark. Another time, he also went to his father and told him, I went between mountains, among mountains, and found a lion there. the animal, the lion. I rode that lion. I went on to the back of the lion. I rode the lion, holding him by his ears, or holding it by its ears. The lion did not attack me, he told his father. The lion did not attack me. Then, at another occasion, Prophet Dawood alayhi salam also went to his father and told him, O father, I walked in the mountains and said, Subhanallah. I said, Subhanallah, which means I state that Allah is clear of any imperfections. That's the meaning of Subhanallah. I say that Allah is clear of any imperfection. So that's another time that Dawood went to his father. So he said, I went in the mountains and I said, Subhanallah. And then he said, and not a mountain was left except that it said, Subhanallah with me. So he's just telling his father that when he goes in the mountains and makes tasbih, saying Subhanallah, which means I state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clear of all imperfections. So he said there was no mountain left, but said with me the same statement, Subhanallah. And each time he told his father such news, his father would just say, await the good news, wait for the good news. For these, means what you're telling me, are good signs. For these are good signs. Allah mentioned in Al-Quran, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ مِنَّا فَضْلًا يَا جِبَالُ أَوِّبِي مَعَهُ وَالطَّيْرِ, which means, this is the ayah in Surah Saba. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon David, upon Dawood, his grace, and Allah ordered the mountains to glorify Allah, to make tasbih with Dawood. Also the birds. Also Allah ordered the birds to make tasbih with Dawood. One time, Prophet Dawood was walking on a road when he saw three stones. The stones spoke to him, alayhi salam, and said, take us. The stones told Prophet Dawood, take us. You will use us to kill Goliath, Jalut. You will use us to kill Goliath, Jalut. This Goliath was a blasphemous tyrant. And we will be talking about his encounter with David. So Dawood alayhi salam, Prophet David, took these stones, kept them in a bag that he carried. Then he, David, his father, and his brothers went out with Talut. In English, they call him Saul, S-A-U-L. And this Talut, this Saul, was the king of the Israelites at the time. So Dawood, his father, and the brothers of Dawood, so the family, they went out to fight Goliath, this Jalut, in the army of Talut, whose name in English is Saul. He was the king of the Israelites at the time, of the children of Israel. Now, this Goliath, this Jalut, was among the strongest and tallest of the people. He was very tall and very strong. Despite this fact, Dawood alayhi salam came forward to fight him. And when Goliath saw David, when Jalut saw Dawood, he became fearful, was afraid of him. But he told Dawood, "You are a young man. I don't want to kill you. You are a young man. I don't want to kill you." Dawood, alayhi salam, said to Goliath, this giant, he told him, "No, it is I who will kill you. You don't want to kill me? No, it is I who will kill you." And then Dawood, alayhi salam, placed one of the stones in his slingshot and he slung it. The stone hit Goliath between the eyes. The stone struck him so strongly that it killed him. So Prophet Dawood alayhi salam killed Jalut, or David killed Goliath. When this happened, when David killed Goliath, Saul, or Talut, as mentioned in Al-Quran, he gave his reign, means being the kingship of the Israelites, he gave it up to David, to Dawood. He said, "You will be the king instead of me. You will be the king instead of me." So as a result, the children of Israel gathered around Dawood alayhi salam, and he became a prophet and a king at the same time. So he was the king of the Israelites, and he was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a prophet to these people. Then Allah revealed the book of Az-Zabur to David. And as we mentioned in previous classes, Az-Zabur was not a book of laws. It was a book that contained words of wisdom. So Dawood alayhi salam was not a messenger. He was a prophet who was not a messenger. Prophet Dawood worked to earn his living, his money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the special endowment of being able to bend metal with his bare hands. So with this amazing talent, Prophet Dawood made the armor, they call it in English mail, M-A-I-L. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Al-Quran, وَأَلَنَّا لَهُ الْحَدِيدِ أَنِعْمَلْ سَابِغَاتٍ وَقَدِّرْ فِي السَّرْدِ. So Prophet Dawood was made able to bend the iron, so it was soft in his hands, he just could bend it easily, and he made perfect coats of mail armor, and of course he would do it by hand and put the chains together, the rings of the armor together, in a very balanced way. So he did not need to like heat up the metal to make it softer and then bend it. He could do it with his own bare hands. He didn't need to pound it also. He just would shape it the way he needed it. And as a result, he would take these armors and sell them. This was his living. Despite that, he was the prophet, was the king of the Israelites, he was making his living through the skill that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. As we mentioned earlier, Allah ordered the mountains and the birds to say Subhanallah with Dawood alayhi salam. And Dawood would recite this book that he received as Zabur, and it takes a short time for him to recite the whole book of Az-Zabur. He would complete it while, complete means reciting it, while he is preparing himself, his animals for riding. Now, when he recited Az-Zabur, the beasts, the wild animals, were mesmerized, were affected by the nice recitation of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. They were so attentive to the sounds that he could make while reciting, to the effect that these beasts will be easy for him to just take them wherever he wanted. They were so affected, or they call it mesmerized, by his recitation, that those beasts were just easy to lead wherever he wanted. He could just hold them by their necks and lead them wherever he wanted. And that's because of the beauty of his recitation, alayhi salam. He had a wonderful voice and produced overwhelmingly beautiful tones. The Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wassalam, when one of his companions was reciting Al-Quran so beautifully, he told him, لَقَدْ أُوْتِيْتَ مِزْمَارًا مِّن مَزَامِيرِ آلِ دَاوُودِ. So the Prophet told this companion, you have so beautiful a voice like the voice of Dawood alayhi salam, just like it. It's so beautiful. So that was one thing also that Allah bestowed upon Dawood alayhi salam, that his recitation of Az-Zabur was very beautiful. Prophet Dawood alayhi salam was extremely diligent in worship. He cried a great deal for good reasons. He is described in Al-Quran in Surah Sad, verse 17, وَذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا دَاوُودَ ذَلْأَيْدِ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابِ. So he is described in this verse that he was strong, he was doing effort in worship, he was soft-hearted, and also he was extremely merciful. He used to stay up at night to perform prayers. He fasted every other day. He fasted every other day. So he would fast one day, skip a day, then fast the next day, skip a day, and so on. He ruled with the rules of At-Tawrah that Prophet Musa alayhi salam had received before. Remember, we said he did not come with a new book of rules. His Zabur was a collection of words of wisdom. And he who is like Prophet Dawood, very, you know, diligent in worship, recites very nicely, performs prayer at night, fasts the days, every other day. So he who is like this definitely would not send the leader of his army to the battlefield in order for Dawood to have him killed, and then Dawood would take over the wife of this leader. Some people claim that Dawood alayhi salam saw the wife of his general, of the commander of his army, and he liked her, so he wanted her for himself. So on purpose, Dawood was sending this general, this commander of the army, on missions to go and die so that he would get his wife after him. And the person who knows how Dawood led his life, a life of piety, a life of worship, would know that such accounts are fabrications against Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. This is mentioned in some books that other people follow, and this, of course, is unacceptable to be attributed to a prophet of Allah, alayhimus salatu wassalam. Now there are verses in Al-Quran, in Surah Sad, that refer to the word ni'aj, ni'aj. The word ni'aj in Arabic refers to female sheep. In English, you could call it female sheep or ewe. So this word ni'aj mean female sheep. Some people misinterpret that term and say ni'aj refers to women, not female sheep, female humans. And they say that it means somehow in the account that we're going to mention in that incident, that Prophet Dawood alayhi salam did something sinful that is related to women. And we're going to clarify this incident here. But the misinterpretation arises from taking that term ni'aj, and instead of giving it the right meaning, female sheep, it's interpreted or wrongly as female humans means women. And here are the accounts of the incident that took place. Two people who were adversaries had a dispute about a matter, and they came to Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. And the way they came, they climbed the wall, and they came from the back of the house of Prophet Dawood. Usually, if you want to go to a person, to a judge, or you just knock at the door and you will be welcomed or told to come back later. These people did not do it that proper way. They came from the back of the house. And of course, this would what startled Prophet Dawood. So one of these men, these two, told Prophet Dawood, "This is my brother." The other man is my brother. "He has 99 female sheep." My brother has 99 female sheep. "And I have only one female sheep. Despite that my brother has 99, I have only one. He wants to take my one sheep and add it to his own flock. He wants to take it unjustly from me." So this is what happened. When Prophet Dawood heard this man saying that, he believed him that he was telling the truth. In his heart, he believed that this man, with his case, that he was telling the truth. And because of his belief of his truthfulness, Prophet Dawood, gave a ruling. Before he listened to the other person, usually when you have a judge presented with a case, he listens to both parties, the person who is complaining and the defendant, the person who is being complained about. But in this case, Prophet Dawood, due to his, believing the truthfulness of the complainant, the one who is complaining, he just passed a ruling. And this is mentioned in Al-Quran, that after Dawood realized what he did, that he did not listen to the other party, he asked for forgiveness, asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Means he repented of his act and asked Allah for forgiveness. فَاسْتَغْفَرَ رَبَّهُ وَخَرَّ رَاكِعًا وَأَنَابَ, as mentioned in Surah Sad. So, when people, those misguided people, say that the issue was about women, that the issue was not concerning sheep, of course, then they're saying that somehow Prophet Dawood alayhi salam was thinking of the wife of his general, that they're thinking that he was planning to take the wife of his general. So when he ruled for that person, you know, let him take that, you know, he was unjust by asking for that one sheep to be taken. It was applying to him symbolically that he was taking the wife of his general. And that, of course, has no foundations. So the ayah is referring really to female sheep, and also Prophet Dawood did not plan to take the wife of his general or his commander by sending him to die in the battlefield. Al-Imam Al-Halimi, Al-Imam As-Sukki, and other Islamic scholars exposed the falsehood of those who lied about the Honorable Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. We mentioned at many occasions, especially when we first started talking about the prophets of Allah, we said that Allah Azza wa Jal chose from among the humans men to receive revelation, and these men were called prophets and messengers. And we said that some prophets are prophets and messengers, and some of them are just prophets but not messengers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave revelation to both kinds, the prophets and the messengers. And all of them were ordered to convey what they received, the revelation they received. However, the difference between a prophet who is not a messenger and a prophet who is a messenger is that the prophet who is a messenger receives rules, set of laws that have to be followed by this messenger and the prophet who comes after him. So every prophet follows the rules revealed to a messenger who came before him. Now, among the messengers whom Allah chose was Prophet Musa, Moses alayhi salam. He received a Torah, the Torah, that had the rules that the Israelites, the children of Israel, had to follow. After the death of Musa and Harun, Allah sent other prophets. We mentioned Elias, Eliasa. We mentioned Yusha or Joshua last time. And now, Prophet Dawood, David. So Dawood received a book called Az-Zabur. This book was not a book to replace At-Tawrah. It was not a book of laws or rules. It was a book of wisdom, a collection of statements of wisdom. So Dawood alayhi salam, despite receiving this book, still had to enforce to follow the rules of At-Tawrah that was received by Prophet Musa before him. Now, Prophet Dawood alayhi salam had a son named Sulaiman or Solomon. And when Sulaiman grew up to become a man, his father Dawood used to seek the opinion of his son in many occasions in different subjects. Means his father noticed this thing about him, that he had sound, you know, judgments. So he used him as a consultant in different occasions. One time, it means one of those occasions, two men were disputing about a matter. So they came to Prophet Dawood. Remember, Prophet Dawood is the prophet and the king of the people. So they came for him to resolve their issues. So one of these two men had an orchard of grapes. So a planted field of grapes, grapevines. And the other one, the other person in the dispute, had a flock of sheep. So one had like a shepherd or owned a flock of sheep. The other one had an orchard of grape vines or grapes. Now, the owner of the orchard complained to Prophet Dawood that the other person who owned the flock of sheep, that his sheep went into his orchard at night and destroyed his, you know, grape vines. It ruined the orchard. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now, it is clear that the sheep is the responsibility of this person. He's supposed to keep them at night, contain them, prevent them from, you know, wandering in the streets, okay? Especially wandering into somebody else's property and destroy it. So it's his responsibility to keep them back. So Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, when he heard what happened between them, he ruled that the owner of the sheep, the flock, should give his own sheep to the owner of the orchard as a compensation for the damage that they caused. So the sheep will be just given to the person of the orchard. Sulaiman was there, alayhi salam, his son Solomon. He told his father, O Prophet of Allah, another judgment would be more suitable, more appropriate. Means if you rule differently, it would be better. So Dawood asked, what would it be? See, although he is the father, and this is his son, he is the king and the prophet, and this is his son, when his son suggested a better answer, he said, what is it? He didn't say, I'm your father, just sit down and you don't know what you're talking about. So this is the politeness, the humbleness of the prophets, alayhim as-salam. So Prophet Sulaiman said, it would be more suitable, more proper, more appropriate to let the owner of the flock take care of the orchard and repair it while the owner of the orchard takes the sheep and benefit from them, including the milk. So his orchard was destroyed by the owner of the flock. So now the owner of the flock takes care of the orchard, fixes it until it comes, you know, becomes in the same situation it was before it was damaged. Meanwhile, the owner of the orchard benefits from the sheep, means the milk and so on. So Prophet Dawood liked that opinion, and he, of course, ruled accordingly. Now, the author said the story of the Saturday people. There was a village called Ayla by the Red Sea, and this story, Ashabu Sabt in Arabic, this story is mentioned in Al-Quran in more than one place. So some of these people in this village committed a major sin, and as a result, means as a punishment from Allah, Allah turned them into these sinners, into monkeys and pigs. And we're going to refer to them as Ashabu Sabt, or the Saturday people. Allah said in Al-Quran, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمُ الَّذِينَ اَعْتَدَوْا مِنْكُمْ فِي السَّبْتِ فَقُلْنَا لَهُمْ كُونُوا قِرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ. So the verse is talking about that Allah punished some people, those people, Saturday people, and turned them into monkeys. And in another verse, khanazir means pigs also. Now, before Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam received the revelation about this event, means the story of these people, the Jews in Al-Madinah would not tell anyone about this event, this incident. They concealed it. They did not want the people to know that Allah turned some of their ancestors into monkeys and pigs as a punishment, because they would be embarrassed by that. So, but Allah, the one who knows everything, exposed them in the Quran when he revealed the story of those people to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And the event was exposed. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam addressed the Jews of Al-Madinah to be humble, not to be arrogant, to accept his call to Islam. But they, of course, did not respond positively to the calls of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And here is some of the accounts of this story. Of course, remember, we're doing, you know, short outlines of things. We're not telling all the details. So during the time of Prophet Dawood, the Muslim followers, the Muslims from among the Israelites, the children of Israel, were prohibited from working, trading, doing any type of earning, and fishing on Saturdays. So to them, it was a day of rest. That was a ruling from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was a what? A test from Allah, so that people would know among themselves who would obey Allah and who would not. So it's a fitna, ikhtibar. It's a bala. It's a test from God to expose those who are not obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's mentioned in Al-Quran. Okay. Now, each Saturday, the fish would come close to the shore, to the point that a person could just hold them by hand. But the fish had the instinct that it is Saturday and people would not catch us. They are prohibited to do that. So they felt what? Safe. You know how the pigeons, when they know nobody will touch them, they come to you. They just eat from your hand and they feel safe. If they knew people would catch them, they would not, you know, come to you. They would be afraid of you. Same thing happened with those fish. On Saturdays, they felt safe. They will not be caught, although it was easy to just to hand take them by hand. And they would come in large numbers, and these people would look at them. They're there, available. Now, during the rest of the week, they would not show up. These fish would not show up. People have to go and exert effort to get few of them. But on Saturday, they're available in large numbers, and they're close to the shore. So the devil, as-shaytan, he wanted, of course, to lure people to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he, there was a man, and he was seeing the fish. So as-shaytan taught this man a trick to catch the fish. So he told him that, you know, in a way, that you can get hold of the fish without breaking the rule, without, you know, disobeying God. So this man, what he did is, of course, craved for the fish, wanted to do that. So he followed the promptings of the shaitan. So this person, what he did, he saw a fish swimming close to the shore. He caught it by the tail, and then what did he do? He tied it with a rope. So he didn't take it out of the water, because it's haram to do that. So he thought that he caught it, he tied it with a rope and kept it there. So technically, he didn't fish it, he didn't take it out, according to him. And then he tied the other side of the rope to a stake and anchored it, of course, in the sand. Now, at the end of the day, when Saturday was over, what did he do? He took that fish, he cleaned it, he cooked it, and he was eating in his house. Of course, you know, people who eat fish, they know that the smell spreads. So the neighbors smelled the delicious smell, and they know, I mean, the fish is hard to catch. So how could it be fresh fish and after, you know, Saturday night or Sunday night, if you want. So they asked him. He said, no, I didn't have fish. He denied that he had cooked fish. This was like people just were imagining things. Then they insisted. They said, come on. What did you do? So another Saturday, he admitted that he had fish. Then they wanted to know. He said, I found it. He didn't want to tell them what he did. Then, of course, they insisted. Then he had to, of course, to justify for himself, he had to tell them what to do. He told them how he caught it. So people started following his footsteps, that they would do the same thing. But they did not just stop at that level. They went beyond that. And they became inventive in their ways. On Fridays, now the guy was catching them on Saturday. On Fridays now, these people would make small pools which were easy to block. So, and were connected to the ocean through small tunnels. So the fish would enter these tunnels on Saturday, and then, of course, they get stuck in these basins or pools of water. And then, of course, they would catch them for on Sunday and take care of them, eat them, etc. They didn't do that also, just the tunnels and wait for the fish to come and get them stuck. They went chasing them on Friday nights, okay? And then they would lead them to the tunnels and then catch them there on Saturday, and then they would catch them later and use them. So they found other ways, and then they became very, blunt about it. They started on Saturday catching them, just like nothing is happening. So they became blunt about it, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So of course that was a major sin. Allah has prohibited doing such thing on Saturday. So when they did it publicly, now it's everybody knows about it, not just the sinners. The scholars of their people, of the Israelites, they ordered them not to do that. They warned them against disobeying Allah. They told them, this is sinful, how could you do that? Reminded them of the punishment of Allah that would be waiting for them if they did not repent. But those sinners did not listen. They didn't want to. They wanted to continue doing what they're doing. So when these people did not listen to the scholars built a wall in the village that separated them from the sinners. They didn't want to mingle with them. They were worried. So they built a wall between them and the sinners. So the scholars were on one side, and the people who were not involved in this sin were on one side of the village. The sinners were on their own side. One time during the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a punishment, turned those sinners into pigs and monkeys. Allah turned the younger ones into monkeys and the older ones among them into pigs. In the morning, that happened at night. In the morning, those good people, they used to meet the other people at some point in time, in the daytime. They did not hear anything. They didn't see them. They didn't know, they didn't meet them. So they were shocked and surprised, what could have happened to them. So they climbed over the walls to have a look, and they saw only pigs and monkeys on the other side. So they were surprised, astonished. So they went to the doors and they opened the doors and went to meet those things, those animals. And of course, what happened is that monkey or pig that used to be human, if he knew one of those good people, he would go close and, touch them and, that because they knew them. And then the good people realized that really those people, those monkeys and pigs, are the sinners being transformed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into these pigs and monkeys. So they started addressing them. Didn't we forbid you from doing that sin? And the monkeys and would just nod their heads that, yes, you did, and so on. Yes, you means yes, you forbade us. And it is said that 70,000 of them were changed into monkeys and pigs. 12,000 people forbade them from doing that sin. So many, many people did order them not to do that, forbade them from doing that work, that fishing on Saturday. 70,000 of them were transformed or changed into pigs and monkeys. And before this happened, before this changing into monkeys and pigs took place, people were of three kinds in the village. There were three groups. One group is the group which sinned and fished on Saturday. And we said that they were changed into animals. Another group did not participate in the fishing, and they ordered these people not to do the sin. They forbade them against this sin. And then there was the last group, the third group. They did not participate in the fishing, but did not forbid them from that sin. They were quiet about it. And they said, means why did not they, you know, participate in forbidding the other group? They say, why do you keep us, you know, admonishing these people who are sinners when Allah will punish them and destroy them? It means they're not listening to us, so why should we keep on reminding them, forbidding them? Allah will punish them. So that's why they quit talking to them. So only one group fished and sinned and were transformed into animals. The other ones, the ones who forbade or the ones who did not forbid, were safe from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, one important part of this is that those who were transformed into pigs and monkeys, they lived only for 3 days and all of them died. And they did not leave descendants, offspring behind them. So Ms. Darwin doesn't have a proof there that, you know, humans came from apes. Okay? Or whoever is descendant of the children of Israel does not have these pigs and and monkeys as his or her father. Whatever humans we have now that could be descendants of the children of Israel are not descendants of those pigs and monkeys because they did not leave any offspring. That's why, you know, when some people say you are descendants of pigs and monkeys, when they say that statement, people need to understand, you know, that those are not really descendants of them, okay? When they refer to certain people. Nobody was left from those. They were dead in 3 days. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Of course, we should learn a lesson that those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are risking, you know, being punished by God. And the history is full of such, you know, people who would not listen to the prophets, would disobey Allah in different ways, and Allah would send severe punishments on them. May Allah protect us from falling into such groups. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم بارك الله فيك.